who represent us around the globe.
Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like those sheikas and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop fronting.
Do you think
they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Bullshit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame, but the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we're insane, like we are to blame for society's pain, like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
In liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. Oh,
You're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something gold in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoices rise high, burning the love, loud as the orgy.
Oh, today all across the world, American diplomats and civilians work tirelessly to advance the interests and values of our nation. Often they are away from their families. Sometimes they brave great danger. Yesterday, four of these extraordinary Americans were killed in an attack on our diplomatic post in Benghazi. Among those killed was our ambassador, Chris Stevens, as well as Foreign Service Officer Sean Smith. We are still notifying the families of the others who were killed. And today, the American people stand united in holding the families of the four Americans in our thoughts and in our prayers. The United States condemns in the strongest terms this outrageous and shocking attack. We're working with the government of Libya to secure our diplomats. I've also directed my administration to increase our security at diplomatic posts around the world. And make no mistake, we will work with the Libyan government to bring to justice the killers who attacked our people. Since our founding, the United States has been a nation that respects all faiths. We reject all efforts to denigrate the religious beliefs of others. We have no justification to this type of senseless violence. None. The world must stand together to unequivocally reject these brutal acts. Already, many Libyans have joined us in doing so, and this attack will not break the bonds between the United States and Libya. Libyan security personnel fought back against the attackers alongside Americans. Libyans helped some of our diplomats find safety, and they carried Ambassador Stevens's body to the hospital, where we tragically learned that he had died. It's especially tragic that Chris Stevens died in Benghazi, because it is a city that he helped to save. At the height of the Libyan revolution, Chris led our diplomatic post in Benghazi. With characteristic skill, courage, and resolve, he built partnerships with Libyan revolutionaries and helped them as they planned to build a new Libya. When the Gaddafi regime came to an end, Chris was there to serve as our ambassador to the new Libya, and he worked tirelessly to support this young democracy, and I think both Secretary Clinton and I relied deeply on his knowledge of the situation on the ground there. He was a role model to all who worked with him, and to the young diplomats who aspire to walk in his footsteps. Along with his colleagues, Chris died in a country that is still striving to emerge from the recent experience of war. Today, the loss of these four Americans is fresh, but our memories of them linger on. I have no doubt that their legacy will live on through the work that they did far from our shores and in the hearts of those who love them back home. Of course, yesterday was already a painful day for our nation as we marked the solemn memory of the 9/11 attacks. We mourned with the families who were lost on that day. I visited the graves of troops who made the ultimate sacrifice in Iraq and Afghanistan at the hallowed grounds of Arlington Cemetery, and had the opportunity to say thank you and visit some of our wounded warriors at Walter Reed. And then last night, we learned the news of this attack in Benghazi. As Americans, let us never, ever forget that our freedom is only sustained because there are people who are willing to fight for it, to stand up for it, and in some cases, lay down their lives for it. Our country is only as strong as the character of our people and the service of those, both civilian and military, who represent us around the globe. No acts of terror will ever shake the resolve of this great nation, alter that character, or eclipse the light of the values that we stand for. Today we mourn for more Americans who represent the very best of the United States of America. We will not waver in our commitment to see that justice is done for this terrible act, and make no mistake, justice will be done. But we also know that the lives these Americans led stand in stark contrast to those of their attackers. These four Americans stood up for freedom and human dignity. They should give every American great pride in the country that they served and the hope that our flag represents to people around the globe who also yearn to live in freedom and with dignity. We grieve with their families, but let us carry on their memory, and let us continue their work of seeking a stronger America and a better world for all of our children. Thank you. May God bless the memory of those we lost, and may God bless the United States of America.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight?
Underground Radio Network. Giving a shout out to the people who lost their lives yesterday in the 9/11, unofficial 9/11 attack. Now, is this the October surprise? Are we about to go to war in Libya? Now, I know most of y'all might say war in Libya. Come on, Jimmy Lee, you off your mark, you off your chart. What's going on? What you mean, war in Libya? I mean, anytime there's an act of war or an act of violence taken at an American embassy, an American official is murdered, that is call for declaration of war. And what's going on over there in Cairo? You know, and what's going on everywhere in Africa? What's going on in this whole continent? What is really happening? You know, my people. 347-838-9825 is the number. We're gonna be dealing with that. Hopefully I can get back into the strike situation in Chicago. So let me go ahead and play a little cut right now while I'm looking at this little, I'm reading this little drudge report right now. I'm gonna bring something up I'll talk to y'all about, especially about this chaos we got going on over in Africa.
We gon' take you back in the timeline. Number one hit, Braille. Cool. Check it out. Goes like this.
Wow.
Come on. Wait. I remember way back in 96 when Harv decided to sit me down upon that bench. He told me I could have anything I wanted to get, and I could fuck the game up depending how I put it in. Just stay on your pen, never chase a chick, and always stay focused to hustle out the trench. And if you do a little sin, say a prayer for repent, cause that's how it is when you're growing up in Quill. I'm from the place with the $7 haircut, fresh fit, put together dope when it's paired up. The place where little niggas really ain't scared much, probably on the block right now with a prepared Dutch. But they mind right for the double up, they keep that nine tucked tight cause they don't muscle up. But when they see Braille, they yell what the fuck is up, and I'm coolin' it, then you can catch me
coolin' with my head in the sky. Now looking at a watch, you can tell us by the time. I'm coolin', cause if you can't let me pass you by, you can catch me coolin' with my head in the ceiling. Out here on the street chasing millions, catch me coolin', cause if you can't let me catch you by.
Now a little older, baby mama drama, and they say she trippin' cause Braille with a different girl. But you know what's funny? That girl was Kelly Bundy, and I'm Dwayne Wayne from a different world. I thought she loved me, but it got ugly. I moved on, but she turned to be the same girl. 5 years later, chilling at the crib, now 4 kids, cooling with my only girl. I know it gets rocky like Colorado, but if you make it through that storm, homie, I bravo. We out here, ka-ching that, I live by those models. Probably in the VIP with a bunch of models, rosé bottles, nah, I did that. I'm trying to find a way to put my city on the map. Sold out shows where they yell Braille Mac, cause I get down like that.
Coolin' with my head in the sky, now looking at a watch, you can tell us about the time.
Present time, next year they say the world ends. So now they got the whole world in a whirlwind. But I'm prepared, never scared with my girlfriend. All black, militant, sipping Pearl Gin. On my grown man, savvy like Earl Flynn. So when I walk by, all you hear is narrow wind. They say that boy Cole still in his black tee with diamond cuts in his mold. Outcast in my tape deck, half a stick cause I ain't even take it to the face yet. I light it up and glide in my space jet. I'm so winning, it's like I'm in a lace bag. I'm worth millions, damn, that's a great check. With a mind to protect it like great sex. I got this game in the glove like Apex. I drop now and I ain't even got a drink yet.
Coolin' with my head in the sky, now looking at a watch, you can tell us about the time.
Jimmy's Underground Radio, that was May Mogul, and I'm cooling. Let's go around the world while I get my callers, a lot of people to check in. Well, let's go by what happened this past week. We got President Obama not meeting with Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, everybody want to say that's like disrespectful, what have you, but hey, he's the president. Netanyahu ain't the president, but you know, I can go off that. You know, but they're tripping because they say he had time to go to a Jay-Z and Beyonce fundraiser or go to Letterman and all of that, you know. But your boy Romney, he comes out, you know, saying, I wouldn't turn down Netanyahu. I'll follow behind him. And now you're talking about stripping funding from Egypt and Libya. It's Romney. You see, Romney's going to get burnt in foreign policy. You see, he got a bunch of people that must be telling him that Obama is a foreign policy punk. Obama ain't no foreign policy punk now, Romney. You need to get it together now. you might be able to dance the tune with them on the economy of America. But when it comes down to foreign policy, man, people want to be able to send their presidents out overseas and they look good for us, man. Don't be just jumping out here because you think he's weak. This ain't 2008, you know, and that's, I think, that's what I think is wrong with the Republican Party nowadays, you know, that I'm a member of, you know. Come on, Romney. We got day three of the teacher strike, everybody, you know, and now this is serious for Rom. You know, he can't take this. You know, he can't take it. And now everybody's tripping because I'm on the side of the teachers, you know, and that may be sounding funny, seeing how sometimes I might be against unions and stuff like that, but no, it's not more about the money in the teacher's pocket, from my understanding, you know, and I am for school choice too now. Vouchers, I believe in competition also, that's not a problem, but I believe there should be public schools because some students just can't fit in all schools. You can't put a square peg in a round circle and call it a triangle sometimes, you know, people. But y'all know what I'm saying. We had a good guest on last night, which my girl, Athena, I'm hoping to get her on again today to talk about, to name the names of all the politicians that standing against them. Now, here, hey, GOP in the shy. It's a good chance for us to know, talk to these people, you know what I'm saying? Let them know where we are at. On WTTW, which is a TV show station here in Chicago, it's public television. They had some of the aldermen that were in place, and they were talking about where they're standing at. And it was interesting to see the black aldermen, excuse me, people, the black aldermen in lockstep with the mayor and the white alderman. I guess they're trying to jock themselves for positioning to run for mayor. They are against the mayor, and it's interesting to see where they're at. And it's funny to see African Americans not talk about the quality of school issues and European Americans talk about the quality of school issues in the African American field. I just find that humorous. Again, we can talk about anything, everybody. Like I said, the clashes in the embassy of Cairo and Libya, the teacher strike, if y'all like to do that. But let me do what I do always at the break of the hour. QQ on the theme song up so I go run here and blow my nose. All right, you got it? All right, one.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the words got in my way.
Can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop the bop. Bop it out of be bop. Bop the bop. Huh. Yeah, bass man. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Sound good. Yeah. Saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it. We'll be right back.
9825. Be back after this break.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network broadcasting live from an undisclosed location. Why? Because we are at war, people. We are at war with the country of Libya because they have attacked our embassy and killed our ambassador. Speaking of which, let's see if I can find someone in the service that probably can speak up on it and see how they feel. We got Miss Dana in from D.C. What's going on, D.C. Dana, being on the military lady that you are? What's everybody's take on this embassy from the chatter that's going around you? How's everybody feel about this embassy attack that happened on 9/11?
Well, I can't really, I can only speak from a personal perspective.
Speak from a personal perspective.
I feel sorry for anyone. You know what I mean? I feel sad for this person who did not deserve to pass like that.
Did you feel that it was an act of war? Can you speak upon that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't speak upon that. Only thing I can say is that I feel sorry for him and his family, and I will keep them in my prayers, and my condolences are with their family.
Yeah. And we had an attack at, I don't can speak too much about that, that probably wouldn't pay attention, at Cairo. At our base in Cairo, it seems like Africa's breaking up. I was one to think that the October surprise would be finding life on Mars and the legalization of marijuana. I'm hoping that it's not war. Hoping it's not war right now. I think that we head in. What I'm going to do now for people just checking in, 347-838-9825, I'm going to play this cut braille for the people, and then we'll come back and let everybody hear. I played it earlier, but we'll rebroadcast it what the president said earlier today. First, it goes to Braille, Ebony, and then we go ahead to the president's speech. Jimmy's Underground Radio.
Braille. A little something for the people. Braille. Thank you all for listening. And talk about the victim last night that got popped, and who the best on the block with the crack rock. Play a lot of pocket banging till the track stop. It's in our nature to run into this jackpot. Hoping not to scrape the flow for that rah-rah, but you envision that trip that's sipping my ties. The anticipation turns to aggravation, so when words of wisdom spoke, you hear blah blah. Cause if that wise guy turns to a wise guy, I pray to God that that guy ain't on a high rise. And if he is, I hope the earth he got 9 lives. See, this is the type of life I seen with my eyes. Go boys whipping in the ghost fire on the 9 to 5, but no bow ties. Cause when Jay's on the street, you're solo, no lie. All black attire, shooting with a bow tie.
A time comes when silence is betrayal. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war.
And watch a nigga kill another nigga. So one dead, one in jail, so soon there'll be no niggas. They scamming for the dough, nigga. I can't trust them, I don't know them. Them yo niggas, I need the source, they either leave or buy. Cause these niggas don't care if I breathe or die. So put your pride aside and let your wings fly. Don't be a middleman, be the man who supply. The definition of a boss, let it multiply. And if they oppose that, they all can die. Cause if they move fast, that's when them cautions fly. So I'd rather be alive than a homicide. Feel my spirit, see my girl and my mama cry. And all my niggas pouring liquor for the honor. I vow to be the realest without ever saying it. So serious, I ain't kidding, nigga, who you playing with?
Where are ranked on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Fucking the same chick your man had last week. Now he's emotional, so now you got beef. Instead of him checking out who the hoe be, next thing you know, he let go free. To the chest. Now we gotta lay another brother down to rest. That wall getting full, cause y'all full of the bull. No more love or lust, cause all they do now is cool. 15 years old, not even in school. But he know mathematics better than you. A community that knows everything about you. But when it goes down, they don't know what to do. What type of sense is that? No clue. So instead of waiting for them, you make the first move. Instead of talking about the victim last night that got popped, or who the best on the block with the crack rock.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts
America is a place where all things are possible. Who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time. Who still questions the power of our democracy. Tonight is your answer. Every day, all across the world, American diplomats and civilians work tirelessly to advance the interests and values of our nation. Often, they are away from their families. Sometimes, they brave great danger. Yesterday, four of these extraordinary Americans were killed in an attack on our diplomatic post in Benghazi. Among those killed was our ambassador, Chris Stevens, as well as Foreign Service Officer Sean Smith. We are still notifying the families of the others who were killed. And today, the American people stand united in holding the families of the four Americans in our thoughts and in our prayers. The United States condemns in the strongest terms this outrageous and shocking attack. We're working with the government of Libya to secure our diplomats. I've also directed my administration to increase our security at diplomatic posts around the world. And make no mistake, we will work with the Libyan government to bring to justice the killers who attacked our people. Since our founding, the United States has been a nation that respects all faiths. We reject all efforts to denigrate the religious beliefs of others. No justification to this type of senseless violence. None. The world must stand together to unequivocally reject these brutal acts. Already, many Libyans have joined us in doing so, and this attack will not break the bonds between the United States and Libya. Libyan security personnel fought back against the attackers alongside Americans. Libyans helped some of our diplomats find safety, and they carried Ambassador Stevens's body to the hospital where we tragically learned that he had died. It's especially tragic that Chris Stevens died in Benghazi because it is a city that he helped to save. At the height of the Libyan Revolution, Chris led our diplomatic post in Benghazi. With characteristic skill, courage, and resolve, he built partnerships with Libyan revolutionaries and helped them as they planned to build a new Libya. When the Gaddafi regime came to an end, Chris was there to serve as our ambassador to the new Libya, and he worked tirelessly to support this young democracy, and I think both Secretary Clinton and I relied deeply on his knowledge of the situation on the ground there. He was a role model to all who worked with him and to the young diplomats who aspire to walk in his footsteps. Along with his colleagues, Chris died in a country that is still striving to emerge from the recent experience of war. Today, the loss of these four Americans is fresh, but our memories of them linger on. I have no doubt that their legacy will live on through the work that they did far from our shores and in the hearts of those who love them back home. Of course, yesterday was already a painful day for our nation as we marked the solemn memory of the 9/11 attacks. We mourned with the families who were lost on that day. I visited the graves of troops who made the ultimate sacrifice in Iraq and Afghanistan at the hallowed grounds of Arlington Cemetery, and had the opportunity to say thank you and visit some of our wounded warriors at Walter Reed. And then last night, we learned the news of this attack in Benghazi. As Americans, let us never, ever forget that our freedom is only sustained because there are people who are willing to fight for it, to stand up for it, and in some cases, lay down their lives for it. Our country is only as strong as the character of our people and the service of those, both civilian and military, who represent us around the globe. No acts of terror will ever shake the resolve of this great nation, alter that character, or eclipse the light of the values that we stand for. Today we mourn for more Americans who represent the very best of the United States of America. We will not waver in our commitment to see that justice is done for this terrible act, and make no mistake, justice will be done. But we also know that the lives these Americans led stand in stark contrast to those of their attackers. These four Americans stood up for freedom and human dignity. They should give every American great pride in the country that they served, and the hope that our flag represents to people around the globe who also yearn to live in freedom and with dignity. We grieve with their families, but let us carry on their memory, and let us continue their work of seeking a stronger America and a better world for all of our children. Thank you. May God bless the memory of those we lost, and may God bless the United States of America.
347-839-8255. I'm glad I got my girl Fina back on the line. We're going to deal with the teacher strike in a second, but let me find out how my military friend Dana's feeling about what the president just spoke upon right there. What's your take on that, Dana?
I think, again, that he stood up and he represented the United States well. And then, Jimmy, I'm going to say this. You know, it's so sad that this happened to these people and their families, right? And when I first learned about it, the first thing that I could think of was that there's so many people that hate Americans in this world. It's a shame that right here, in the United States of America, that we also have some of the same practices and hate each other. That is sad. You know what I mean? It's so shameful that we can't come together, because honestly, that's the only thing that's going to help us. You got so many other countries that sit back and wait for any vulnerable moment and are willing to hurt us, but we're going to always be vulnerable because we got the weakest links right here where we are. Why can't we as a country somehow learn to stand together, and not just in times of tragedy? I'm talking about even in times of peace. All these people who have died and spoken about it, Martin King, Gandhi, there's so many people that have talked about peace. Yet here in a country where we're supposed to be so accepting of everyone, we can't even accept one another. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong. And I'll keep that family in my prayers. You know, we go over and we try to help all these other countries out, and sometimes we're not appreciated. I guess a lot of times we're not appreciated. But hopefully that this will show us that here in the United States, we need to figure it out. We need to figure out a way to say, you know what, it's time to let go of hating one another, and it's time to be stronger and promote peace within. That's the only way that you can really have strength, is by cohesiveness. And you can't have that bonding when you got to worry about what the next man is trying to do to you because of whatever.
Okay, let me see what my girl Athena, what she think about that right there. Would you say, fire? I got it for the teacher's part too. What do you say about that? Athena, what do you think about the president's speech and what we've been what happened on 9/11 yesterday?
With regards to the Libyan attack and the president's speech,
Libya, yeah.
Which speech was this? Was this today or yesterday?
This morning.
Okay. So I've been so engulfed in what's
teacher
going
strike.
On here. Right. I really have not been able to get to learning what's going on with the Libyan attacks. I've kind of skimmed a little bit on it, but I'm just engulfed in what's happening right now.
All right, hold on. I got to
make a comment.
I'm
going to
bring you back
right
in. I want you to be false. I don't want to false represent you. Let me see my man 317 talking about. What's up, Brother Pianchi? What's going on? Hello? Toby, who's this? 317. Toby, this is
yeah,
Toby. What's going
yeah,
on, man? How you
Toby.
Doing?
How you doing, beloved?
All right, all right, all right. We deal with a whole range of issues, teacher strike, like on Libya, 9/11, and stuff like that. Do you have anything to say about what transpired yesterday and how the president is handling it?
Well, you know, I feel the president's handling it well. I think actually Mitt Romney is causing more difficulty than is necessary or appropriate. So
that's true. I'm
generally impressed with the way the president handles a lot of foreign policy issues. Now, if we get into the domestic side, you know, I have my own issues, but overall, I think the brother's doing pretty well in this particular issue. And my prayer is that Brother Romney step back and settle down a little bit. His rhetoric will get us in more trouble than anything.
I agree with you. I'm going to touch on the teacher strike for a second, but I agree with you. Let me say this for a second because I am a card-carrying Republican, a member of the GOP here in the Shire. But let me go right here. Romney is really doing a part of dissatisfaction by going ahead and beating the drums of war, not knowing what's going on. Even John McCain in the Congress and the Senate was reluctant to sign up on this. You got anybody, everybody from family institutions, I mean, right-wing conservatives, I mean, even all the policy hawks, they know that what he's saying is tragic. You don't want to sit up there and beat the drums of war when you got troops right there in the middle of the field. We got there, and, you know, see, he's going to lose it right there in foreign policy. Everybody think, yeah, the economy is bad, which it is. Gas is high, which it is. Unemployment is high for the black man, which it is. Education for the black man is high, which is bad, which it is. You got all the stuff that's going wrong, which is true. But when it comes to dealing with security of America, you cannot say that America is not safer under President Obama. You can even argue that we're much more safer than under Obama than we were under Bush. The comedian once said that over there in Somalia and Ethiopia, Barack Obama has killed more Africans than starvation. But that's just a little joke itself with the drone strikes. But he's ever going, and it's going to be interesting to see the debate and see how he's going to handle himself by trying to cater, I guess, to the Tea Party, which is probably dying out at this time, or the extremists. He's fighting an old battle. He's still fighting the 2008 battle. But let me kick it in to this teacher strike. Toby, I'm glad you're here. Call from Naptown. I got a girl in D.C. and I got a fan from Chicago. Let me play a little intro, then we're going to deal with this topic because it's interesting what Rom is doing here. Let me go in and bring this.
Chicago public school teachers are on strike and classes are canceled for the day. We're going to have a live report coming up with Tanya Francisco, who is with some strikers. We have lots of live reports for you this morning. Chicago public school teachers are on
wrong one. No, let's get the new one. I want the new one. Matter of fact, let's go to a commercial for a second. Then we'll bring a new clip up that we got on. This 347-838-9825, Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. And, okay, we got Danny from D.C., Toby from Indianapolis, and Afina from Chicago, representing Chicago Teachers Union. Thank you, producer.
Wouldn't you just like to feel clean again? In Chicago and surrounding areas, Unique Towel Cleaning Service is the best cleaning service. We do basic cleaning and super cleaning, offices and apartment buildings. We will even clean your barber shop, your beauty shop, your spa or restaurant's towels and aprons. Call Unique Towel Cleaning Service at 773-484-5027. Ask us about our very special offer for our new clients. Call us at 773-484-5027 today and feel clean again.
Hello, this is Prentice L. Allison, founder and president of SPSI, Service Perfect Solutions Incorporated, a network of financial service professionals
teaching people how to use life insurance and annuities to retain more of their income and pay the least tax on it. Our toll-free number is 877-902-9048. We are proud to have serviced more than 500 clients, national and international, from ages 0 to 99 for the past 30 years. My tip to you today is, if you are a business owner with at least one employee, including yourself, it would behoove you to get business life insurance. Why? Thank you for asking. 7 points I want to leave with you. Your premiums are tax deductible. Your policy bills cash tax deferred. Your cash reserve inside the policy is yours to use tax free. The policy will replace your income if death occurred prematurely. The company will pay the premiums if you become disabled. The policy will return all premiums to you when you retire. Last but not least, make sure your agent is well experienced in business life insurance. Stay tuned for more tips on how to use life insurance and annuities to help yourself today and protect your family and business tomorrow. This is Prentice L. Allison, president of SPSI. Toll-free number is 877-902-9048. I wish you well, and to God be the glory.
You still in the pull up? I mean, still get uploaded. But anyway, let me bring my girl Fina Troy. Let me find out what's really going on with this teacher strike day three. It's day three here in Chicago. Prom is on the front. It seems like the teachers board. I mean, the Chicago has put their plans out today. They said they're going to walk away from negotiations until y'all come up with a written response. Is that what's going on right now, Athena?
Hey, Jimmy. Hey.
You were going in and out, so I didn't hear you.
Hold on. Did we say Dana?
No. Go ahead. When you finish, I got something to say.
Can you hear me now, Athena?
Yeah, I hear you.
Now, what I'm saying is, what's the new situation on the front line with the strike on day three, the progress or the lack of progress that has been made?
Well, there's been some progress in terms of the evaluation piece between the union and the board. There's still quite a bit ways to go, but there is movement in the right direction. And that's all we know right now.
Okay, because I know something about that from my understanding that they came up with a response and they said, yeah, I have so many X amount of days. But from what I'm understanding, that you have a lot of aldermen now that are behind the mayor, and their message is that get the children back in school. But I was listening about, by any chance, you check out WTTW Chicago Tonight?
Yeah, I watched the program. And what I would like to say to these aldermen, they need to tread very carefully, because just like Rahm Emanuel has to come up for election in a few years, so do they. So they need to be very careful what they say about topics which they know nothing about. And I understand that they are allied with the mayor, but come into our classrooms and see the conditions. Come and see for yourself what we're protesting or what we're advocating for our students before you just blindly side with Rahm, who has an obvious agenda on the table. I don't think it's very smart for them to come out and speak against our public schools without actually going into them and seeing the conditions for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we as individuals, as consumers, and also as the voting public need to understand. We hold the power, okay? These people are supposed to be, this is a democracy. These people are supposed to make decisions that we want them to see make in our best interest. So, as I stated, they need to tread very carefully, because every one of them, that the 33 of those aldermen that wrote that letter the day before we went on strike, now, all year they haven't been involved in anything, They haven't been concerned with anything in terms of negotiations. So this is all, this is just political pandering. But they need to be very careful. They need to tread lightly because there are thousands of us, and we have power.
Also, the Chicago Teachers Union strike is now entering its third day. Under the leadership of the Caucus of Rank and File Educators, the Chicago Teachers Union pushed hard in negotiations with the city. Early on, the Teachers Union made the decision to decline an offer of pay increases combined with layoffs. The city wouldn't agree to the Teachers Union's core demands, including expanding art programs, music programs at underfunded schools, etc. They voted overwhelmingly, 90% of teachers and 98% of those who cast ballots, to authorize the strike. It doesn't look right now, Lewis, like the strike is going to be breaking anytime soon, at least as of us going on the air.
Yeah, can you imagine if we were in school and something like this happened to our schools? It'd be like the kids must be loving it.
Well, 350,000 students are being kept out of school. It is a question, you know, at the time, I could remember being in high school at the time, and I probably would have loved it, to be completely honest. Now, of course, having a completely different understanding of what this means for the teachers and what it means for education and so many of the implications that are there, different perspective for sure, but I wonder what the kids do think.
Yeah, now there is a lot of a lot of uproar over this from people who claim that Chicago teachers actually are some of the highest paid in the country.
Which, of course, is terrible. It's terrible for teachers to be well paid.
But, you know, they're kind of claiming this is hypocrisy or something of the sort.
Well, Chicago Teachers Union President Karen Lewis said late yesterday afternoon, there has not been as much movement as we would hope. There's been, let's put it this way, centimeters, and we're still kilometers apart. So we'll see what happens. President Obama has been mostly avoiding weighing in on this.
Apparently we're using the metric system now.
We are now, of course. Part of why that school system must be so great and those teachers are making so much. They
right.
know the logic of the metric system.
Yeah.
President Obama seems to just kind of be avoiding weighing in on this, and it's understandable because he's going to end up getting between unions, teachers, Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, and voters. It's probably the right thing to do politically. Does it make any difference whether he weighs in or not? Republicans, of course, being critical of President Obama for not getting involved, but is this really even an issue that the president needs to be involved in the nitty-gritty of? I don't know.
I would say no, and not only because he's running a campaign right now. I think this is something he can and should avoid, but it would be a very easy way to get into hot water if he did.
The upside seems limited. We've heard that President Obama doesn't decide what to do based on the political repercussions, but it almost seems like he doesn't even really have anything that he could add by getting involved.
Right, yeah.
Interesting. We'll keep an eye on that as well.
Community's Underground Radio Network. Back to you, Fiend. The man was just making pot shots. He wasn't saying that teachers were being well paid. Like, that's something else. He's being sarcastic. I dig that. So for what I'm coming at now is that a lot of noise has been made about the conditions. If you did see the WTTW, I don't know what the argument was in, but he said his son goes to one of the quote-unquote good schools, which is Lane Tech, and even in Lane Tech, they ain't got air conditioning. And his son be coming home like, Daddy, there's no air conditioning here. It's hard to think.
That's right.
It was very interesting that Bob Ferretti was taking such a pro stance on the teacher's side and really challenging Howard Brookins. You know, it's funny, and Natasha Thomas, and seeing how the black aldermen were not concerned about the situation, seeing how in Chicago the public school system like 48% African-American and they're only 13%. African-American teachers, and out of 13%, 1% of them are African-American males. Now, I heard that mentioned early on WLS. Somebody mentioned it. Are y'all trying to get that message out also, or is strictly just, you know, conditions? Because on as a program I saw early on WTTW, they were saying that if you give us the school books and air conditioning and the right facilities, we wouldn't even take the raise. Is more teachers feeling that sentiment? Just give us the proper facilities and working conditions to work in and a proper place for our children to be educated. It's not about money, or is it strictly about dollars and cents?
I would be one of those teachers that would forego my raise if they put more resources into our schools. Absolutely. That's how passionate we are about changing the conditions in the school system. Now, you have teachers that work at some of the better selective enrollment schools. They are also on strike with us. You know, some of us have faced different conditions in the school system than other teachers. Some of our teachers at the select enrollment, their issues with the contract issues may be something different. But my, as well as a lot of my colleagues that are in the union, we want better schools for our students, and particularly those teachers that teach in the inner city areas where they're mostly black and brown students. We know that our schools have been starved for years. You know, if one of the teachers, or if some of the teachers are fortunate enough to teach at those select enrollment schools or those charter schools that is getting all of the money and the resources, then, you know, it's wonderful for them. But there are also other issues on the table that the board is trying to take back or roll back that we got under the Jackie Vaughn era, when those teachers were going out on strike because of the abuses of the Board of Education. So there are all kind of issues. I mean, there are so many that it's like I understand. No, I won't say that I understand why they're still moving slow. They're moving slow, and let's be clear on this. Negotiations started November 2011. At that time, Rahm had already gone to the state legislature, and he got the SB 7 bill passed, where we would have to get a 75% voting to authorize a strike. Now, right around that time, this is also when he snatched our raises. That was the beginning of the school year last year, because he was positive that we would not be able to get 75%, because historically we've only gotten 51% or 52% or something like that.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think you made that calculation? Because right now, the overall, a lot of people, y'all are union members, everyone throw this in, a lot of y'all union members voted for him, but what I was saying, you think he went that route because that he felt that your overall membership is no longer African-American, that they're white and they would not be as passionate as educating African-Americans?
No, he went that route because this is a national agenda, and you have these quote-unquote educational reformers that are hell-bent on privatizing education in all over the country. So there had already been research done, because he came in blazing, just hitting public education hard right away, talking about how short our day was and all this other stuff. That was actually a created agenda. You know, that's one thing. People have to be very careful about what they believe, you know, because one thing that I've learned being a delegate with the Chicago Teachers Union, that Rahm, the board, Bizarre, they all are liars. They will lie at the drop of a dime in order to garner support for this educational agenda that they're trying to bring here to Chicago. And back to the 75% authorization situation. So he was convinced that would never happen, and so his people, some of them aren't even from Chicago, haven't even worked in Chicago public schools, are at the table bargaining about what they're going to do in terms of just folding, going back on all these concessions, and what they're going to take away, and steps and lanes will be no more, and no, the tenure will mean nothing, and you'll be evaluated. 40% of your evaluation would be based on standardized tests. All of that was coming down the pipe. Also, this longer day with no compensation, all of that was coming down the pipe, because he just knew, because he had been working some of these Tea Party education reformers, he just knew that we would never get the 75% authorization vote. So they really didn't try to negotiate anything with us until May 23rd, when there were over 10,000 of us that went downtown, and they saw that there was that we had a unified union, and that's when they started speaking or saying anything to us in the bargaining sessions. Before, they were basically laying out, this is what we're going to do. Okay, So after May 23rd, they started talking a little bit, but they still did not believe that we could garner 75%. They thought that we were going to wait till the mediator came back with this report that gave recommendations in terms of what we should do as a union or how the union can compromise with the Board of Education. We didn't do that. We took our vote before school was out, and that makes a lot of sense. Why would we wait till the summer when you have teachers that go out the country and are all over the place that wouldn't be able to vote? That wouldn't make sense, because if you were not there to vote, that's an automatic no vote. So they knew exactly what they were doing. That was also in the bill. If a teacher doesn't vote, that's an automatic no vote. So all the odds were stacked against us. So we had to vote. We took the vote before we left for the summer. We got a 98% that to authorize a strike. And then that's when real negotiations started. Before then, we were just being told what was going to happen. Okay, and that was it. So even all summer, they did not believe that the teachers would use the only leverage. This is the only leverage we have. Other than that, they did not want to listen to anything that we were asking for. They could have cared less because they already had their set agenda. So only after we get closer to school, it was almost like they were daring us. You understand? They were daring us, like, you're not going to do – this is what's going to happen even still, the arrogance that they come to the table with. It was mind-boggling. They could care less about black and brown children in these public schools, and we have to be clear on that. This is not just a teacher's fight. This is a community fight, because if you privatize – if you close 100-plus schools and you privatize and half of these schools turn them into charter and contract schools, then when the dumping grounds are going to have huge classroom sizes, gigantic classroom sizes, and they're going to expect teachers, new teachers, just fresh out of college, to be able to teach these kids. It's unrealistic. It's unrealistic.
So do you have a list? I'm actually people get questions about it, want to question you. But do you have a list? Do you have that list or the letter that the alderman sent you all stating not to strike? Do you have that? Or do you have a list of the aldermen that said don't strike? Do you have their name?
Okay, talk to someone else for a minute. I'm about to pull it up in a second.
Yeah, go on ahead. What did you say, Dana? What's up, Dana?
Hey, Jimmy, I was going to say that that Romney's statements, and I'm not trying to take it off the teachers union, but I wanted to say that Romney's statements just showed how dangerous he is, okay? And it also shows how his inexperience and how his lack of compassion can put us in a worse state. This man has to get past all this hatred in his heart for the president and move past the I want to be the president and start trying to do what's best for this country, because that's what being presidential is all about.
Yeah, anything you want to add to that, Toby?
Well, yeah. I'm like you, brother.
Anything we're talking about, that or anything we're talking about, anything. It's what's up, Wednesday.
No, I'm good. I may not be the right one to talk about the teachers union. One, because I don't know enough about the current issues that they're coping with. I typically fall on the side of whatever's going to work to educate children. And when it comes to our children, I feel the public school system is failing miserably. So
yes.
If we can, you know, if we bring
intentionally,
in choice,
intentionally,
or you know, and if we whatever enhances the capacity of either teachers or school systems or whatever to teach our children, I'm for. So I don't like putting our children on plantations knowing that they're not going to learn, and just saying, well, it's because we're trying to preserve jobs again. So I typically lean towards issues that focus more on the students and less on teachers. However, what I believe is happening in Chicago is that the teachers have been put in a situation where they have a difficult time teaching because of the various dictates that are coming from, not from the parents, but from other political considerations. So I have some concerns there. But as it relates to Romney, you know, I'm a very proud progressive conservative cat. I'm a GOP to the end, but I can't get with Romney. He's not my candidate. I'll be holding my breath and my nose and voting once again for President Obama. But I struggle with President Obama simply because I don't believe he said enough as it relates to the issues impacting black people. And I constantly hear, well, he can't. You know, he's not the black president. He's the president of all. Well, excuse the hell out of me, but we voted for him, too. He's supposed to serve our issues, too. And just because he's in the skin I'm in doesn't mean we don't hold him accountable to respond to the issues that are impacting our people. If we look at the Great Recession, it has impacted our people more than any other group in America. And for him to be silent on it, or him to say, well, I'm trying to raise all boats, well, to me that sounds like a trickle-down economic policy as it relates to our people, simply because he can't speak out on it because it's a political consideration. And I have a difficulty with that. All the children dying up in Chicago, he said nothing.
Right.
He has said nothing. So, politically, I just struggle with him. So, I mean, I'll get on a different kind of soapbox, Jimmy. I'm sorry about that. But when it comes to Romney, he's as dumb as a box of rocks as far as I'm concerned. He is not the conservative standard bearer that I would have put up there. He doesn't excite me at all, and I'll be once again scratching my ticket and voting for Obama this year.
Well, before I bring my girl, my finger back in, and you name those names of fake politicians that, you know, they got all those black folks voting Democrat in Chicago, and they're flipping on them. I agree on the Romney issue, and the simple fact of the matter is, if you put Romney against Michelle Bachmann, Michelle Bachmann won. If you put Romney against Newt Gingrich, Newt Gingrich won. If you put Romney against, what's the crazy man? He would have won. If you put Romney up with Howard, Herman Cain, he would have got blown out. So here's a guy who would have lost one-on-one to anybody ever that went one-on-one. So and he thinks he can beat Obama and Newt Gingrich going to beat his butt, but that's another story itself. But anyway, Athena Troy, Romney. I know you think Romney's dangerous. I know that, but you might be a commander. Keep it against him. Let me go ahead.
I'm just going to say that, you know, the plight of African Americans didn't just begin this 4 years. You know what I mean? And President Obama improved the economy. So by him improving the economy, by default, we also get to get more jobs and things like that. It takes time. You can't have a recession that has been
before you bring Toby out the box, let me get these names because what everybody knows, when Obama gets elected, the economy is going to go up. When a Republican gets in, he'll get all the glory. When Condoleezza Rice gets in, we're going to bump up. We're going to just do that later. Anyway, just name the names of these shaky-ass politicians who be kissing everybody's ass in the union, and now when the union finally needs what's up with y'all back, they go running. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you know what? They definitely going to... They're going to feel it.
You know, in the state, not to be starting shit because of how, you know, Republicans running. But you know the state, fucking state race going on, the state reps running and state senators. I mean, it should be said right now, where y'all at right now with these 59 days. But anyway, if you can name those names, you know, I'm going to start some shit in a minute. I'm about to start some shit in a second. You know.
Give me a second. I'm still looking for them, but.
Okay, why are you still looking for them? Let me get back on Romney there. Now, anyway, Dana, it didn't start just 4 years ago, but it is a continuation. The point I'm saying, people, might want to say what they want to say with George Bush, but I know a lot of black millionaires that came out of George Bush. And I know you ask a lot of people right now which economy would they rather be in right now. They're screaming George Bush without saying it in front of loud, without being ashamed. They might get charred and feathered. But I'm coming right here. You look at Bill Clinton. Everybody said Bill Clinton did shit. Bill Clinton, one reason why the welfare reform is all messed up as it is right now. You know, yeah, it fell flat on George Bush's watch. You know, he got blamed for it, just like when the Republicans take the White House, which would be 4 years after Obama. Like I said, it's 8 years of African-American rule. When Condi or Herman or Mike Steezy step up in or Colin get in the spot, the jobs are going to increase. Like you said, Dana, it takes time. If it takes time. If we're going to be in a positive direction by, let's say, January when he takes office again, jobs ain't going to roll by down to probably his third year in office. He will be signing out, and then you have Democrats riding in and trying to say there's growth, but the real major boom ain't going to happen until Republicans get in, because that's how it always be, no matter how you look at it. It's all from the Reagans to the Bushes. So, I mean, that's how it is. You know, in the history of America, Democrats raise taxes, Republicans give taxes away. That's how it always been. That's the flow of how I go. You know, and that's the way the stuff go.
Even though we have third parties in office, why is it that we can't just look at it like we're all Americans? It's not about being Democrat. It's about doing what's best for this country. And
But then how about this, Dana? When Mitt Romney made that statement, not one Republican in the Senate or Congress backed him. Matter of fact, you had so many Republicans run away from him. They use that as an American moment. Feel me for a second. Republicans use that as an American moment. Like, hold on. We're not going to sit there and say Obama don't care about America. We're not going to say that. Now, 4 years ago, that statement Mitt Romney would have said would have been broadcast everywhere. It had been a major talking point from Rush Limbaugh on down. Everybody ran away from that, given they know how sensitive the subject
is.
Go ahead.
What I'm saying to you is this man is trying to run to be the leader of this country. And if he can't control his tongue when we have a time of a devastation in the United States, what the heck is he going to do when he's behind the gavel?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Why are you jumping on Mitt Romney like on your soapbox, Democrat Dana? The point I'm going to say is this. Mitt Romney reminds me of Kerry when he ran against George Bush. Everybody swore Kerry's going to win. Look, we're in the war. Look at the kind of what's going on. Whatever. And somehow Bush won. I mean, Mitt Romney is the Republican version of Kerry, the rich guy, the guy out of touch. I mean, the fact that, I'm not going to sit here because me, all politics is local, you know, and I told everybody when we got in it, when Obama was going to be president, we have 12 years of African-American rule, and I'm still standing strong on my prediction, and now we're down to the last 8 years of my prediction. We'll have 8 years of African-American rule with Condi being the first African-American woman president, maybe Colin Powell being the first Republican black president. I mean, it's already there. Our bench is thick. We're just waiting for my man to step down. But anyway, Ms. Troy, you got the list?
I'm still trying to find the names.
Because right now, I'm feeling you got an election coming up here in Chicago. If those state reps right now, they can be held and vote right now, and then they should be called to the carpet to ask and to say why they voted to have that 75%. And why they voted to put that stuff in. Because let me tell you, the only politician I see right now really looking at the writing on the wall is Bob Ferretti. He's like, man, fuck this shit. You know, I got the biggest wards. I got the most schools. And I hear more people sign with the teachers now. It's funny that you see Rahm Emanuel using strong-arm Democratic tactics, the same tactics that the Clinton campaign would use against the Republican right-wing establishment that they're using on the teachers union. And it's just so funny. You know, it's so funny. And then let's look to the flip side, what people are saying in circles. They're saying that now Republicans like Rudy Giuliani and Paul Ryan, everybody can jump on and Scott Walker. Everybody can jump on Rahm Emanuel's side. All these Republican anti-union people can jump on his side. And then what Rahm going to do? So then that brings to the point, does, is the Clintons really down with Barack Obama or not? Is it really a mid-time sabotage of his election? Is Rahm trying to draw this out just to make to bring Obama in it? I mean, is it a trap? I'm just saying, you just don't know. This stuff is just wild. It's really sticky. You know, it's really sticky that someone who knows that Obama has a large support of the teachers union all across America, that his chief of staff would throw his eye or stick his finger inside the teachers union eye to cause havoc. It would trip me out. The man gives a statement that, okay, let the teachers union strike. I'm here at the Democratic Convention. I'm leaving after my speech. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to stay and clap for Bill Clinton. Oh, dude, it's Wednesday. There's a strike going on right now. Where you at? It's striking Monday. I'm leaving Thursday. The point I'm saying is this. Oh, then he get kicked off the – he stayed so long. This is what probably happened. They probably told, hey, dude, hey, man, there's a strike going on. We can't have you as the chairman of our committee, a strike going on. Then he put out a press release. I'll be home, and I'm going to watch the shit in the Chicago campaign with everybody in the Obama campaign. Then the next day he said, I quit. I resign. Now I'm going to run as a Democrat PAC runner. I'm going to run, raise money so I can get people elected so everybody can owe me favors. Then everybody realized, oh, man, he gets up the PAC, man. It's not looking good. The point I'm saying is here's a man out here that is trying to humiliate and embarrass the president, and ain't nobody called him on that right there.
What man are you talking about?
Rahm Emanuel.
Oh.
Rahm is
actually carrying out the president. I will say this, that, and I think I made this comment yesterday about Barack being a Jewish president.
Mm.
He was put there with Jewish money, okay, and let's be clear on that, okay? And so, of course, any president that has been elected, historically, they have to abide by the agenda that got them there. And so there's an agenda in place that, I mean, we can look at the Secretary of Education, with his record here in Chicago, he was appointed to a position like that. Here in Chicago, Renaissance 2010 failed miserably. As a matter of fact, the deficit that they always want to bring up, where they never let us see where this deficit came from, it was on his watch. And then he goes to D.C. and becomes the Secretary of Education. What is wrong with this system? They are all doing this together. Okay, and that's why I am an independent voter. I am not going to sit here and say that I am a Democrat, because Democrats are trying to destroy, Democrats and Republicans are trying to destroy public education. And so I can't be a part of that. And Barack, he needs to be very careful, because he is upsetting a lot of union people. Now, historically, unions have supported the Democratic Party. But at this point right here, he needs to tread very lightly. He needs to come in and he needs to say something, because he is losing a lot of support. He's losing a lot of support.
Okay, who's coming?
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that we're looking at the alderman, and we're trying to see which alderman is out here.
Look, I think maybe the alderman's chief of staff got together and made sure that list of names wasn't online, because I can't find it anywhere.
I also have Ebony looking them up also to give you some backdrop, and we can't find it neither.
Yeah, because I saw the letter the night that Sunday before we went on strike. I saw that letter, and I saw some of the names, but I can't find a list of those names anywhere.
Because this was
televised.
Right, we're trying to find it now. We're trying to find it now. And what about the state reps? Now, when you said y'all went down to when they went down to Springfield, there was a state rep.
Oh, I would definitely have to do some research on that. I know the union has those names. So now everything is centered on the negotiations. But I can't get that information for you.
I got Mac and Jason calling in from Cali. They want to chime in, I guess, on what we're talking about right here. What's going on, I hope I'm saying, fellas? Y'all all right? How y'all doing? Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, not to cut you off, Jimmy. I got the names. I found some of them.
All right, we'll go ahead with the name.
Because here, this someone tweeted. Folks have been asking which alderman signed on to the letter to Karen Lewis about averting the strike. And
that
this person tweeted the last name. She said Marino. See, I don't know what district they're in, what ward they're in, but these are the names. Marino, Harris, Beal, Bowser, Cardenas, Burke, Thompson, Thomas, Lane, O'Shea, Cochran, Brookins, Zawowski, Chandler, Solis, Maldonado, Burnett, Irvin, Graham, Riboras, Suarez, Mayo, Colin, Austin,
Chanigua, and all my friends not on the Who's 405. That's how we do, yo.
Cullerton, Lorino, both O'Connors, Smith, Tooney, Osterman, and Moore. So this was tweeted.
So those are aldermen in Chicago that said that y'all should get off y'all's strike.
Those are the aldermen that basically support Rahm's position.
Okay, so that's what's boiling down to when it comes down to that. That's the Rahm 29, I guess. Those are people who are always going to roll with Rami Mack. 33.
Yeah.
I wonder if there might be some more names out there that are hiding in the shadows. We're trying to see how Rahm got a lot of power then. But that's 33 aldermen. That's a lot of aldermen, you know, to have in your back pocket.
That's 33 out of 50. So anything he wants to get through city council,
he got right
through.
Already. That's what okay, I got Mac and Jason from Cali in. Y'all can chime in anytime y'all want to. You want to join in the conversation?
Go ahead.
Yes, you're on.
Hi. My name is Jason. I was looking at this whole Chicago teacher strike. Is that the current topic we're on right now? Because it is cool.
Yes.
Now I am currently in school right now for education. So you know I find these things to be something of my interest. I'm sorry. And my thoughts on it is first of all. What is your – so I have something to start off with. What do you think your opinion on the idea of the teacher strike is? Like, you think it's good? Do you think they need to be striking? Or, you know, what's your thought?
Well, I'm going to let I guess the one that's representing teachers come on and talk and let them have their feelings. But my take, per se, on the teacher strike, because I'm on both sides. But basically, I am for school choice. You know, I feel that a person should, a parent should choose where send their kids to. I'm a product of Chicago public schools. I went to grammar schools here in Chicago, high schools that were public, and I sent my kids to Catholic school. When I was little, they struck every year. You know, this is something brand new. It's been a miracle that 25 years is gone. But I do know that in some of the schools here in Chicago, basic stuff is not being provided, such as books. They're fighting for air conditioning. I mean, stuff like music, grammar, science, little stuff that has been phased out. And then you have, like I said, I'm on both sides of the fence. It's interesting to see where everyone is going at it, and it's funny to watch how the Democratic Party here is saying the union, which the union is almost the backbone of the Democratic Party. It's just funny. Seeing how things are flowing, so I can lean either or. I'm not trying to sound flip floppy or wishy washy, but I am concerned about the conditions of how the children are learning, you know. And and are they provided with the resources that they need to develop?
Mm-hmm.
And with a parent right to choose which school they should go to, you know. So I'm on the fence, but I have an educator to sit here and talk about the conditions, let my listeners all around the world know what is going on. Now, this one, she's going to speak your piece. I can probably have her, because she's probably the only qualified person out here can talk about what's going on the strike field, because she's out there striking now and what positions they're offering thus far. Just go ahead and ask on. Feel free.
Well, I want to return the favor and describe my views on the situation. You know, there is that big problem that schools become underprivileged due to, you know, lack of books and funding. But I think that, you know, the teachers have their rights to strike, but I think they're striking for the wrong reason. I think that's not necessarily the idea that they don't have the proper funding and supply for the students. I think the problem is that they have too much minorities going to the schools. So it's been seen as a proven fact. The more minority you have in a school, the worse, you know, the condition is. I would have to a school with no minorities at all. You know, the government won't let me have a minority-less school. You know, I want a majority, not a minority.
Well, in Chicago, there are majority white schools. Here in Illinois, there are majority white school districts and majority white schools, and people have that choice. But if you are in the city of Chicago, sometimes, I mean, so like right here in Illinois, you got the white school district striking right now also. You have Lake Forest is a very very permanent, prominent white area with a very good tax base. And you're about to have Evergreen Park, which is another white suburb here, and then they're striking too. But I don't know for the same reasons, but funding being the problem, I guess, not just in an urban city area, in a
you don't understand, because I don't want minorities in this country.
I need to understand something. I mean, because I don't know, Jimmy, did you hire this person to mess with me tonight or something? What would happen if your children were sent to a school with quote-unquote minority students? What do you think would happen to your child?
They are there.
Listen, ma'am, what I think, you know, they can go to school with minorities, that's fine, but I believe in school segregation. You know, have a school for the spics, have one for the fucking kikes, you know, have one for the gooks, you know, everything, you know, just have them separate. No, I want them all separate. They shut up.
Why are we wasting time with this?
Why are you wasting my time, ma'am? You're being rude, you know?
You are being rude.
I don't care.
Calm down. Don't talk at the same time, because I can't
understand
you.
Okay, Jimmy. All right.
Listen.
Jimmy, is this okay with
you? Did you cut the phone from my baby? Did you plug my baby? Okay. Go ahead on. Please call back. My producer picked it up because you offended her. But, you know,
You know what, Jimmy? This dude is an idiot. Was that a guy or a girl?
I don't know.
I was a little bit confused with the voice, okay? But I will tell you this. You idiot, whoever you are, Mr. or Mrs., whatever, okay? You are an idiot if you want to go into the educational system and all you can do, you can't come up here and have an educated conversation, first of all. Second of all, if you're going to use all these derogatory terms and racist terms to describe people, I would not only want you teaching my children, I wouldn't want you coming near the school.
Then
so
that has to be a friend of yours. You did that on purpose.
No, that is a friend of yours. No.
That could not have been real.
No. That was real. I tried to get depth into it to see what was going on, but they fitted my producer that she cut him off before we can find out the situation that it was on. I wish he would call back in, you know. I'm scared to have that type, you know. You want to go there?
This
That person wanted
to get a rise out of your guest. That person is not serious. This is serious business. We don't have time to waste on people like that.
Let me throw this out there. This is Toby. I think I was offended as well, but I think the reality of it is that there are a bunch of people who actually think like that, and they might not articulate it, and I suspect some of them are current teachers out there who feel the same way when they walk into one of our classrooms and they see there goes the neighborhood sitting right in front of them. I actually believe that that's real. And the other piece of it is, you know, having gone to an all-black school, you know, I'm not tripping. If it's all blacks, I'm cool. Now, what he was saying is the problem with education is the black folks or the minority folks. But I think it's actually more so around expectations that we have for those people or the way that our education system has really left those kids, not our kids. What they say is those are y'all kids. They're not my kids. So the moment they become somebody else's kids, the investment and the expectation for success is different. And therefore the investment in it, in that group, is different. And that's why I think we sometimes see, quote, public schools not getting the kind of investment that other schools get. And I believe that there are people who believe, just like that gentleman or whoever it was, there are people out there, they just don't say it. They are very politically correct. And they come up with, quote, funding formulas that render our children on plantations and that they can't get out of.
You know, the money don't make no difference.
Well, you know, they make these, they say it, by the way, brother. They say it in comment sections all day long. You have a lot of online neo-Nazis that make their positions clear. But one thing I wanted to comment on that particular caller, he obviously knew nothing about the Chicago public system, because if you knew anything about the Chicago public system, school system, you would know that it is extremely segregated. Chicago is the most segregated country or city in the United States. So his point was moot, basically, because he doesn't know anything of what's going on in our system.
But I agree with him on some of the points he made.
Which one?
Is my mic open?
Yeah, it's open.
Yeah, I agree with him on, you know, I wouldn't allow my daughter to go to an integrated school. And my grandson, who's in high school now, I wouldn't allow him either. And I don't know why some black folks, pardon me?
Why wouldn't you?
Because he's always had black teachers, qualified black teachers.
Okay, got you. Okay.
And my daughter did also. Now, once he go to college, that's a different thing, but his education would have been grounded in a particular fashion. And what the gentleman said, you know, ultimately, that's black folks' fault, what's going on with their children in these school systems today. And I keep saying that. And, it's all over the country. It's not only in this country, but it's also in other countries, too, especially where you have a small minority of black population go up against a white, and the results is the same. It don't matter. Money ain't, even if the money is not the problem, because your children in Chicago, as I look at St. Louis allocation is $15,000 per student. Our most, our highest achieving school district in this area is two white school districts, Clayton and Ladue. And theirs is just a little bit less than that. Now, what happens is that the amount of money that goes to the actual classroom instruction is higher. You know, St. Louis, about $5,500, maybe a little bit more, where those schools apply about $8,000 out of that $14,000 that is allocated to the children. Another point, too, is that those highly academic school districts receive hardly no money whatsoever in their public schools from the state government nor the federal government. They don't receive anything from the federal government unless you have some students going there that's taking advantage of Title I, but it's minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
But in Chicago, I'm willing to bet you that you probably receive 38% of your revenue come from the state, and you probably receive probably 18% from the federal government. Therefore, them two entities going to dictate what you do and what you don't do.
And the state owes Chicago Public Schools millions of dollars. Millions.
I've seen school districts. I've seen schools here in Missouri that rank black school, all black schools that rank in the top five in the whole state, and they closed the summer guns down.
Mm.
So, you know,
why are they closing?
How they come up? Well, because of the budgets, they claim.
Isn't that something?
I've seen blacks turn out at school board meetings, 500 strong in Kansas City, 5,000 strong in Detroit.
Means nothing.
So it don't mean anything.
When that agenda is in play.
Pardon me?
I'm saying when the agenda is in play. And so the public is basically moot. I mean, their opinions are moot at this point. And this is the reason why we at least have to fight as a community through the unions. That's what we have left. I mean, because you're going to here in Chicago, not to cut you off, but here in Chicago, when every year by December 1st, the board proposes to close more schools. And you have parents, you have teachers, you have administrators, everyone is downtown talking to the board, pleading with them to leave these schools alone. And they close them anyway. So it doesn't matter whether or not they're successful or low enrollment, they close them anyway. So they've already made a decision.
They had a DSEG judge. Kansas City School District was under a DSEG program. The blacks didn't want to agree with it, but the blacks drew the line and say, our children are not being bused nowhere. If you want to integrate these schools, you need to bus your whites into the district. And ironically, all the whites still found themselves in the same classroom. But the judge came to the district, and he asked them, what do you need to change the academic outlook? And he told him they had one school that had an Olympic-sized swimming pool. They had they even had a zoo. They built a zoo with animals, you know, so that the children could take zoology. They had auditoriums that was like the United Nations where they had translators. You know, you put your microphones on, I mean your headphones on, and it would translate the speaker who may have been speaking in a foreign language. It ended up being like $1 billion that was spent, and the outcome still remained the same, other than those African-centered schools.
I agree.
Now, you know, you can jump anytime. Then everybody, mic is live. It's on because I got a little 9 minute thing. I'm gonna ride it out
Let me make a statement about the pink elephant in the room. You know, nobody really wants to talk about parent accountability, but has a gigantic that right there could have prevented everything that's happening right now with the Chicago strike. Honestly, parent accountability. You know, everyone wants to talk about the teachers and judge our performance based on standardized tests that are extremely culturally biased. But where is the parent accountability in their child's education? I mean, what can we do in terms of getting these parents more involved in reinforcing learning at home? That has to, in order for this to work, in order for public education to be saved and be productive in any way, there has to be some parent accountability. I agree with you, Jimmy, on a parent should have a choice in where they send their child. I think it's very sad that there's high-stake testing for five-year-olds, and those five-year-olds can't go to schools in their own community. They have to go somewhere else in order to be in gifted programs or select enrollment little schools or whatever. I think that's very sad.
That's right.
5-year-olds to have equal opportunity. They shouldn't be thrown in classes with 35 kids and expected to compete against those gifted programs or the select enrollment programs. It's very
sad. I'm going to tell you, here in St. Louis, the classroom is about 15 students. There's 15 students. I've seen 12.
Wow.
You had a teacher, and you would have at least two assistants in that classroom. And it still didn't make a difference as far as academic achievement. I mean, it's more complicated than classroom size.
What about the parents? What
grade do you teach?
I'm a high school teacher. I see very little parental involvement.
Let me ask you this question then. What grade in high school?
Well, I prefer upperclassmen, but in the past 3 years, I've been getting everybody in the same class.
All right, let me ask you this. Let's say you teach the 10th grade.
Okay.
And the previous 9 years for that 10th grader came to your classroom. When were they taught to be parents, and when were they, what classes they have that provided them with their understanding of their civic duties? Matter of fact, the children that graduated this past June, when in their previous 12 years were they taught about parenting and they also their civil responsibilities once they become, you know, get out of school and become a citizen in the community?
Well, here, the way the school that I teach at, the way we have as eighth graders, they have to take, a constitution government-type test. They have to take the same type of exam as sophomores and as juniors.
Constitution's not teaching you your civic responsibility.
I understand what you're saying. I understand, but, I mean.
It just ain't happening. So if it's not happening, then how can you expect them to act out something they have never learned to be?
I had civics.
I think in 88, 89, because the school I went to, they had home economics. You know, they had shop. They had things that prepared you for life if you could not be substantial outside of high school. Matter of fact, some high schools here, like Westinghouse and Dunbar, you could have left there with a license to go do hair or become a nursing or stuff like that. They have classing,
that ain't what I'm talking about. The difference between in Detroit, where you have 5,000 parents come out to school board meetings. Wonder how they learned to do that. It was taught as they was coming up through school. It's in their curriculum. And
civics take out all American instructions. No one teaches civics no more. Because you see, if you teach the population civics, then they'd be more engaged in the political process.
They had African centered themed school too. They also had a Native American. It was called Medicine Bear, that particular school. But that's how the children come up through those schools. They had the curriculum, African centered curriculum throughout all the district. I mean, it's a big book under all disciplines, whether it was language, whether it was math, whether it was history, whether it was even gym. But that's how the parents, that's how the children learned what was expected of them once they came out of those schools. They continued to act out what they was taught.
But you're making the assumption that with the problems that we have in public education, even if civics was offered, and I think as a social scientist, we incorporate, I do, civics in my lessons and just life lessons. I mean, that's something that I can't avoid because I teach predominantly African-American children. I'm going to make sure that the way I was taught or whatever I was taught, I'm going to give it to my students as well. But there are so many other factors that come into play as to why our children, many of them that are piled like cattle into these classrooms, are not able to master these standardized tests. I think it's bigger than whether or not they had civics or a parent class.
Well, we did master the hour basic skill test now, didn't we?
We did.
What happened?
I'm down to my last three minutes.
It was a different time period, though. That was
done away with
our time period.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jimmy's Underground Radio, 347-838-9825. Tomorrow's New Music Thursday, where we play music all around the world with a new top 10, and we're going to try to get those names, if the teachers are still on strike by Friday, of all the politicians that sold them out. So I'm trying to give everybody 30 seconds to give a little shout-out to my audience. And, hey, people from Cali, man, my producer hung up on y'all. Call back again, man, you know. I got room for everybody.
Thank you, Anthony.
Toby, let's say anything. Toby, with my people, let's listen to this out there. 30 seconds. Toby from Indianapolis.
Jimmy, I just always appreciate hearing your show and participating. I look forward to the next time. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Bianchi from Kansas City.
You have callers like that come in, I mean, you know you agree with some of the things that you say. You should tell them that. You should tell them that you was against busting. You felt that for black children to be bussed out in the white community, sitting next to them is crazy. And, I mean, that's the truth. I wouldn't get in an argument with them.
Well, I was hoping they'd call back. Maybe they might call back again Monday. Mr. Phoenix, Troy, anything like to say to my audience?
God bless everyone. Have a good evening. And pray for us in this teacher strike. Pray for better outcomes for our children. And also remember, with strikes, every one of these days will be made up. I mean, these children are not missing out on learning. They're going to get all of this, okay? But this is something that you have to make sacrifices in order to achieve change. That's the bottom line. And we have been bending over backwards for the reforms, or the so-called reforms that Arne Duncan started. Well, they actually started under Vallis. But at this, I mean, we need support. We need support, community support.
All right. We'll try to get a report on Monday how everything's going on. What about Danny? Give me 30 seconds.
Hey, Jimmy, you know what? And that caller just goes to show you that we are not nearly as far as we need to be as a society. He showed us, or she showed us, whatever, showed us that, you know what, we got a long way to go. And as long as people continue to promote hate, you're going to get hatred. And we're in a dangerous time. So I'll keep us in our prayers. Athena, I'll definitely keep us in our keep you in our prayers. Hey. Bianchi, again, for the comment. Jimmy, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, don't forget Thursday, everybody. New Music Thursday. We got new music coming around, and we're going to try to continue the hot political topics. Yo, Callie, don't be scared to call back again, man. I enjoyed the conversation. I just talked about producer, you know. Just let me end on some positive Negro music for you all.
Hello.
Warehouse Wednesday at the Dayton game, Lisa.
What, tonight? At 5:30 in the morning. You know, we're
at 6:30.